So eclipses, huh?
Was that unbelievable? Marianne and I just hung out for an hour outside just before and a little after, but we were like, whoa, when you could take your glasses off.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Leading up to this, I was like, I don't understand what the big deal is. Everybody's freaking out.
Same.
Just whatever. Like, wow. Like the moon is going to pass in front of the sun. Like, who cares? And then I was outside and I got to see it once we were at 100% coverage. And I was like, this is actually pretty freaking cool.
Did you notice it got cooler out?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was bad to the bone. All of Marianne's little lights came on because it got dark out. And we slowly saw everybody else's, you know, garage lights. I was like, well, this is cool. Yeah, and then
it looks like a storm's coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wicked.
I liked the light that it put off for like the 10 minutes before.
Yes.
And the 10 minutes after. I was like, man, if it could look like this every day, all day, it would be so cool. Nice.
Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah.
We went to the one that was like 7 or 8 years ago. I know the kids were like 6, 7.
And 2017.
We drove past Bowling Green, which is pretty far west Kentucky, like 3 hours away, because it was total. And now, so Evansville, I mean, Indianapolis was 100%, right?
100%.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we were 98 here. Because we saw its totality last time, we didn't want to drive. We also learned the hard way that although it took us like 3.5 hours to get there, it took us 6 hours to get home. That's how bad the traffic was because of the people driving to, usually it's more remote places and the roads can't handle the traffic. But I was the same as Jason. I was like, big deal. You know, everybody's like, oh, you should see it.
Same.
And I was like, wow. So it made me look forward to this one more going through the last one. And the next one I think is not until what, 2050, something like that, 20.
I don't know. I was asking the same thing.
I think I saw, I'll be in my 70s. I think close to 80. Last time I'd seen it. So I thought, well, this might be the last one I see.
I think I'll be like 55 the next time it rolls around.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ronnie, that should just be like in a few years then for you. If you're,
it is. Just like retirement.
Hey-o. Dang it. I know we were talking about the eclipse, but I just thought of something, and that is Patreon.
Oh,
we got some new patrons. And there's actually one in here that I want to see if we had mentioned, because I don't remember if we did. So I kept it in here. But we do have some new patrons.
Cool.
The first one is Mr. Lonnie Miller. And he actually, he or she, I'm assuming it's a man, signed up on the 27th of March. But for some reason, as I was going through the emails, I don't remember if we ever shouted him out. So Lonnie, thank you. And if we did not shout you out, I apologize. But here's your shout out.
Welcome aboard, Lonnie.
Awesome. Welcome.
Let's see. Laguerre's Wood Shop.
Oh, Laguerre's Wood Shop.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
And then, okay, so the next one came up again. Sedge, I talked to you about this. Forged 3D. But it's really weird because he already signed up and we already shouted him out. But the significance of him signing up, one, he signed up as a journeyman, so
woo!
That means we're up to 6 or 7 now.
Wow!
That have that opportunity to win a visit from us and in their shop. But
thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not really certain why it just popped up again. So I don't know if it was like a delay in his sign up and it wasn't supposed to start until the first. Like that would make sense, but yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's here, but more importantly, he's not just a patron. He is actually also the giveaway sponsor for the month of, what are we in, April?
April.
April and May.
Wow.
April and May. And he, hold on, I'm not trying to stall or anything. He is giving 2 $100 gift cards for April and 2 for May. So thank you, Tyler, and Forged 3D. If you guys
And
want to
what
check out
does
some super
Forged?
cool 3D printed stuff.
That's
Oh
what I was
yeah.
getting ready to ask you. What is the I'd like to check out his things, but what is a highlight of what he offers?
You met him, Ronnie, at Workbench Con. He's the one that
Yeah.
made all the stuff.
Oh, same
Yeah.
person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the
I
same art
actually
guy.
didn't know the product name. I just knew his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
You could check my
this.
videos. I have an affiliate link in there.
Yeah.
All the
I talked to him for an hour.
hashtag
Yeah.
not
He's
sponsored.
awesome. Okay. So
I
now
just
I
did
can
a.
connect that name to his company name. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's the
So
one that was
any
showing you all the
yes, oh
cool
yeah, I remember very
stuff for
well.
the
I love those.
sustainers.
Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah, those
So
are
yeah.
there's some really ingenious products.
Yeah, I just did a it's not the one I just released, but next weekend, right after this drops for patrons, it'll I have a video coming out, I think, on Sunday that has some of his products in it. But I have other products too in there. It's the new tools, the Sedge Tool Shop for the spring.
Oh, cool. Well,
Last week, Ronnie, while you were off gallivanting while we were back here doing work, we did the giveaway. And guess who won? I don't know if you listened to the podcast. Guess who won the TSO products gift card?
dude.
Gary Furness.
No, he didn't.
The governor. Yes, he
The
did.
gov.
Well, now people know it's not rigged.
Which, yeah. We yeah.
Ronnie,
Don't worry,
that's a good
everybody.
one.
It was
Oh.
totally random. Gary would never win. He already wrote me a message, like, because he listened to the podcast. He was like, I can't remember what he said, but he was just giving us a hard time as usual. But it was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
I actually feel bad because I haven't given the information to TSO. My contact over at TSO, Sejet, I just found this out today. I'm not going to say exactly what happened, but he had a home personal family matter. And so he's
Oh.
been kind of tied up, and I didn't want to bother him with that. So Gary, just know that by the time you hear this, you'll probably be contacted by them. And again, just to be clear, for those of you that are international, it is not up to us on whether or not, like, we're not going to take your name out of it because of, we don't want you to like miss out on your opportunity to win something, but not every company may ship to the UK. So, or whatever country you're in. So that just keep that in mind. There's plenty of things you could do. You could probably talk to another patron and have the stuff sent to them and they could ship it, or another patron could, buy it for a discount rate or something. I don't know. You guys can figure all that out, but we want to make sure that everybody gets their chance. And Mr. Jason Grissom won this bad boy, which again,
Ooh.
it's been a week and I still haven't sent it out because I haven't gone to the post office.
It
But maybe I
was the
will tomorrow
eclipse.
before I leave for Cali.
You had to wait for the eclipse.
Yeah. It's like a rule or something, like within 72 hours of an eclipse, like you can't do anything. It screws up
Yeah, you
the, yeah.
can't. No pun
Not my fault.
intended. It's a rule.
Yeah, it's a rule.
It's a rule.
On that rule, the folding rule that you just held up, I had that for a while. I got it at one of the giveaway things and it just kind of sat on a shelf. And one day I pulled it out for something. I've never used that kind of rule before. I kind of grew up in the tape measure age and I saw it has a place. It's really handy that for a lot of purposes, measuring inside measurements and things. And I started carrying it in my apron a lot. I had never been a folding rule person, but they do have a place and they're handy
Oh
to have
yeah.
close by.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was going to ask if you guys want to, Ronnie, we haven't talked about it because you were gone and we did not want to bother you while you were on your vacation, which I'm ready to hear about here in just a minute. I
Yeah.
know Sedge and I both would love to hear about your trip, but when it comes to the meetup last week, I think we discussed it and it's going to get capped at a certain point
Yep.
because we got to keep planning. And I think people are going to understand that. And I would say that we're very close because there's only a couple of rooms left. And I think once those rooms are gone, that's going to be the cutoff for the meetup. But things are looking really, really good on that. Really, really good.
I was
But we're,
looking at Discord at where people are coming from, and it was so cool. I had to read it to
yeah.
Kelly. I was like, this, I was like, listen to all these locations. It's like so cool.
I mean,
All
with,
over.
And I mean, a good group is going to be there. Like with everybody who's already responded yes and actually booked rooms, some of them are bringing spouses and stuff, which obviously I want them to be able to do that if they want to. But because of that, you know, when those 30 rooms are gone, you're talking now like 45 people, roughly, with all of us, and not to mention the few people that live in the area that do not need a room. So at some point, we just have to say, okay, it's going to get capped at this many, because then we can plan the other things that we're going to do. So
Exactly. Makes sense.
think that's a good way. But the feedback on it has been great, and I cannot
Oh
wait until
yeah.
September. We are very
That's
excited.
awesome.
Oh
Very
yeah.
cool.
Green Suitors Con.
Gone, gone, gone.
What, when is the off the cut con?
I think it's
Emphasis on
five.
con.
I think it's every, it's on the fifth Sunday.
It's on, it's on, Off the Cut Con is on every week when they release their podcast, which is available on Apple and Spotify and all streaming platforms.
Aren't they ex-cons? I think they both did time, didn't they?
Yeah, he did time for running a shop out of his apartment garage.
Oh, one thing, because I just said available on all streaming platforms, it made me think. I saw on Discord that some people were asking about an RSS feed, and some other people were asking about, is it possible to start posting the podcast video to YouTube again, and even if it's unlisted, but then sharing the link in Patreon so then people could watch it on YouTube. Yes, Steve, when you, if you're listening, just know that I will definitely be reaching out to you to figure out this RSS feed, because I don't know what that is. So we're gonna get that all situated, thanks to my IT guy, or the podcast IT guy, Steve Iadarola, the
Yeah.
great. And the YouTube stuff, I mean, that's just something that I probably won't dump that onto Nicole on top of the other stuff that she's doing. So that'll probably just be something that I do. I mean, I'm uploading a video pretty much every week at this point anyway, so why not? Just takes so much longer for YouTube.
Yeah.
So easy for the podcast. It's especially easy now because I don't have to do it. But it's so fast, and it's so easy to do the podcast. But I also understand that YouTube's a better platform too, if you're actually watching the video.
Watching the video, and then a lot more people are starting to use just audio only, like streaming YouTube and using it for the audio. That's I found myself doing that myself in the past few months. So it'd be nice to have it as an option, I'm sure, for some. It's another way to remind you of an episode too, if you're subscribed to it.
Yeah, I like to stream just the audio on watch repair videos.
Now I'm playing the dually dingy and I'm putting it on the hooly-hoo. The other gear,
The dually
that
dingy.
probably wouldn't, that wouldn't translate as well. Yeah, I like to drive to that. Let's rebuild a Rolex audio only book.
Well, that's all of our admin stuff. Ronnie,
Man, I haven't seen you in
please.
2 weeks, Ronnie.
I know. I know. I thought about that when we signed on. It's been a little while. Yeah.
Please tell us about your
It was,
first vacation away from your children with your
well,
lovely bride.
we kind of went to Germany, went to Europe this summer. I said the same thing to her, and she was like, you know,
Oh,
we
that's
did go. And I
true.
was like, oh, well, okay.
That's right.
Yeah. But I guess this was our first road trip we've had in a long time, and it was fun. We didn't have a lot that we were locked down to. We had our first 3 nights hotel rooms locked in, and we from that we were just playing it by ear. So it was fun. Weather was good for the most part. A little cool, which we expected that. Spring break, always like that, unless you go to the middle of Florida, you're dealing with high chance of cooler weather. So probably the highlight for me was going to Sierra Nevada Brewery in Asheville. That
Wicked cool.
was amazing. And
The actual Sierra Nevada Brewing
yes.
Company? Oh,
It's their
cool.
East Coast. It's their East Coast brewery.
And so I talk about Country Boy a lot. That's the brewery next to my shop. And I know the owner really well. And he told me once about how amazing it was. And his place is pretty amazing. It's a $12 million brewery. And he's telling me that about this other brewery that's like so amazing. He's like, my dad told me once that Sierra Nevada is what I wish my brewery was. And he told me that and it stuck with me. He was like, it's really nice. And the best way to explain it is they are so over the top. The parking lot is made of brick pavers, the entire parking lot. Brick pavers.
Wow. All three cars?
it's a massive parking lot. The building, the best way to put in perspective is as long as like a Costco. It's that big,
Oh,
but
wow.
all copper, all slate, all brick, all top of the line finishes on everything. You know, I know that my local brewery has told me once that one of those things, those beer stainless steel things, can be
Yep.
$200,000. Theirs are copper, and they're 4 times taller, and they have, I don't know how many they have of them. It is unbelievable.
Those are big kettles.
It is amazing.
Where
And
is
the
this at?
restaurant,
Asheville, you said?
it's in
Asheville,
Asheville.
yep.
It's right in front of the airport. I
Yep.
heard one of the servers say a lot of the pilots come over to eat when they have layovers. They come over because it's right across from the airport.
They came over to
And
eat and
then
drink before
they
flying
come
people
over.
across the
Yeah,
country. Yeah.
exactly. They come over, they try one of each number, and then they go back and fly.
Yeah.
So don't fly out of Asheville.
Yeah.
It was, we were there in about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and it was packed, and we had a 35-minute wait to get a table for food.
Wow.
And they have an open kitchen that you can see in the room with, I would say, like 7, 8 chefs like running all around, wood fired for pizza. The food was unbelievable. They use 150 local farmers and source everything locally, like food wise.
Wow.
And I mean, it is a operation. When you turn in, you actually go up on a mountain. It has its own road, and it's lit. I could see every one of the trees had a light at the base of it in the forest going up. Like it's bridges and everything. When I was turning in, I was like, this place is crazy. It's just, so, they made a show place. In the
Yeah.
back is a amphitheater, like a green grass, like concert stage, and like all these hangout areas. And it's just, I wanted to kind of describe it to everyone. So if you're ever in Asheville area, I've passed by this within 5
Same.
minutes of it so many times and thought, eh, someday we need to go there. Someday we need to go there. Someday we need to. I wish we had went, and the next time we're anywhere close, we're actually going to take the kids too, because it is such an amazing place. They have a
Kids
corridor.
can
They call it,
go.
oh yeah, it's a regular restaurant type situation when you go in, and they have tours and things like that. But what's cool is it would have a 35-minute wait. They have corridors. You can go upstairs and walk the corridors, which are like long hallways. You can look over both sides and see all the production facilities and see the bottling happening and everything. And they have these like fun little displays in the walls. They had hand planes because, they make the barrels for things. They had a whole
To
set
flatten out the
of,
glass bottles, yeah.
yeah, they had woodworking tools. They had old wood in Sierra Nevada. I looked it up. They started in 1980. So this is not nothing. This is not something that they used in their company, but it's just displays that are interesting, like the way they used to do barrels and things like that. And so I was actually, when they called for a table, I was like going, gosh, I want to look around more. So we darted down there, and the food was just over the top amazing. It was really good. So anyone's in the Asheville area, if you ever want to check it out, it is
Yeah,
amazing. Really cool.
I'm wicked jealous because there are like 5 times I've driven by there, and they said I gotta stop, I gotta stop. And this is when they were just building it or they had just finished it. And there was one day I showed up too early, and I said I had to drive by it. And you're talking about it now, and I'm never gonna bypass it again. I'm going.
It is so cool. I was sitting in the restaurant, and the server backed up because he's wondering what I was doing. I was had my phone, and I was taking a video of the ceiling. You know, the 2-foot like return ducts that have the vents on the side that go through like a room
Yep.
when it's open thing? Copper. All of them. Copper. I was telling Kelly, I was like, that return, that vent is probably 10 to 20,000. That vent right
Yes.
there. And then there's another one and another one and another one. It's mind blowing. They
You know
it's
what I
almost like they spared no expense. They're like, we want the top notch of everything. Even the production facilities, I thought of you, Jason. Production facilities, they have windows that are like paned windows, black with half arches, that are larger than a 2-car garage door, 3 stories tall. That's what the people who work in there get to see out their mountain view. Told Kelly, each one of those windows, probably 100,000, each one of them. And they go as far as, it's like Willy Wonka. If you made a beer brewery, this is what it would be. So
No kidding. That's my
I was
Willy
blown
Wonka
away.
chocolate
I was
factory.
blown away. And we were there, right before some of the trees are budding, but I've seen some pictures online of it summer. I would love to go there in the summer. It would be unreal.
Guys, I think we just figured out where Green SuiterCon 2025 is
Oh,
going to be.
you
I
know
was just
what?
thinking that. Wouldn't that
That
be cool?
it's another centralized, and it's across the
It
street from the
is.
airport.
And we, what we could do is we could rent the van,
Biltmore.
Biltmore for a hotel for everybody.
Yeah, Biltmore is really close. And so that's another thing. If you're planning like a getaway, you've got Biltmore, and which Biltmore is a whole place within itself, and you have the Sierra Nevada brewery. It's just, and you're up in the mountains. It's just a cool place.
And there are several in Asheville that is known as Beer City, and there are several killer breweries there.
Yeah. So that's a good teaser for
So
Green SuperCon two, two, two.
here's a question. I know we're like going way into the weeds here, but the big three cabinet hardware manufacturers are in North Carolina, correct?
Yeah,
Yeah,
Cherry
Bloom,
Hill, North
Saliche, and
Carolina.
Grass are
Yep.
all their major headquarters.
Yeah.
How far is that from
Bloom's
Asheville?
we
Not
went
too
right
far.
through it.
Bloom. Yeah,
Yeah.
Bloom is in Stanley, North Carolina.
Yeah, there's a lot of
I
furniture
did a
companies.
tour there, but I don't think they do overall tours for people. Their security was incredible around the building. The good thing about that Bloom facility is they actually train machinists there for all the local area too. They basically have a school attached to it for training the trades in machining.
Okay, that's
It's
cool.
incredible. It's
That's neat.
they got a 5-story they call it the barn, and it's all robotic picking.
Oh, wow.
And the powder coating and all the stuff they have there is incredible.
Oh,
I was
so
a
I was looking at where Ceviche was. That's actually in Charlotte.
that's Charlotte.
That's a little too far.
Yeah, I think it's an hour and a half, 2 hours away, Charlotte, I'm
Yeah.
guessing around that.
Yeah, 2.5.
So
Now, since I'm looking at it, I'm going to see where Bloom is.
we also went to Savannah,
Just
Georgia.
north of Charlotte, I
We
think.
walked the streets in Savannah, which was cool. It reminded me a lot of New Orleans and Charleston.
Yeah. Oh, you went to Savannah?
We had to go right through there to get to where we stayed in Tybee Island. It's like 20 minutes.
Yep.
You have to actually go through Savannah, like through the heart of it, to get to that other side. There's no way around it. That's the only way you can get there. And there's a fork in the road where you can go to Hilton Head, which is like 20, 30 minutes away. And we just kept going straight to where the little Tybee Island. And it's a little sleepy place that's kind of looks like it had some development in the 70s and 80s, and then just kind of slowed down. And a lot of locals go there, and it was fun. We just kind of took it easy there for 2, 3 days, and just kind of worked
That's
our way back.
how was
But
the weather?
it was okay. For the first 2 days, we had rain the third day, but it kind of forced us to slow down, which was good because we're always go go go. So that was actually probably a good thing. And then it was just cool. So just like it was, here at home, it was just unnormal, like. Cool, like cold front. Usually it's 70s this week, even at home. It just was not that case. A lot of people had some bad outcomes on where they went for spring break. If they went on the Gulf side of Florida or the upper north side or anywhere on the east side, everyone had cool weather. I don't think there was a lot of stuff going on there. But we did get the first day. I actually got more sun than I realized because the wind was so cool. You don't think about that the sun is still strong, and it is. It's like still just as potent, even though you've got the air conditioning on. So that surprised us the first day. But it was nice to get some beach time. Other than that, we don't really have a lot to report. We stopped at Pigeon Forge on the way home and swung through some of our favorite outlets. That was a big disappointment. We can tell within a few minutes if it's a good stop or a bad one. They had it priced appropriately for spring break crowd. They knew they were going to be, and even the hotel rooms. Were like some of the highest I have seen other than Christmas and Thanksgiving. They gouge for spring breakers, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But we stayed a nice place there and then we headed home. We were home by Friday afternoon. But it was fun. It was fun to drive, just Kelly and I, and we put 1,200 miles on the car. It was fun. I like to drive.
Did you take the
Wow.
Corvette? You did?
Nice. Yeah, it was a very fun car to go on a trip in, for sure.
Does she enjoy it?
Oh, she does. Yeah, I had one when we were dating and
Oh,
when we
yeah.
were married, all the way up until Cameron was born, and it was just sitting at that point. And I replaced the battery twice in 2 years, And I was like, this is kind of sucks. And in Kentucky, we pay property taxes on cars every year. So I was getting the bill every year for the property tax, and I was driving a lot. So I told her, I'm like, okay, I want to say something. I want to sell it because I just want to, but I want a bookmark, and someday I want to get another one. She was like, it's okay. So that someday finally came when Cameron started driving. So that's kind of how it picked back up, got back in. It was fun.
Speaking of that, I don't, Sedge wasn't on the episode where he gave you the ultimatum or gave you the hard timeline to say he could use the car for prom.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Did you give him an answer in time?
no, I didn't, but I'm leaning towards it, but I didn't because the prom is at the horse park, which is 7 minutes from our house. It's before you get to Lexington. It's get right on the Interstate 75 right off. And he's drove it, other than me, he's drove it more than anybody else. He even picked it up when it was getting its service when we were in Rhode Island and drove it home. So I feel comfortable with him driving it. It records,
Lucky.
it's got its own PDR. It records video every time it's driven the whole entire time. And you can even go as far as put it in teen mode where it blocks out four of the cylinders. But I don't think I have to do that with
You
them.
can
He
do that,
does.
really?
There's valet mode and there's teen mode. Teen mode will text you if they go over a certain limit, that threshold that you set. But then on top of that, we have Life360. Whenever he has his phone with him, it tells me everything. Like how he, it's really hard for me to get away with anything. So, but
He'll
he's a good
figure
driver.
a
When I
way
say
out.
him, it's
He's
that's
listening
kids.
to this right now going, "Oh, you think
Well,
so, Dad?"
oh, you think so?
That's kids. That's any kids nowadays. What's funny is if he tried to leave his phone at home, his date to prom will have her phone with her, and it's still his. Her parents will find out because most parents now have the Life360 app. It's almost like a given. So that kind of takes some of the danger away from it. But I know he'd be careful, so I'm leaning towards it. But he's going to two proms, so I don't know if does that mean he wants to go to he wants to do it for both. I don't know yet. So I don't know.
He's probably
Fun stuff.
expecting you to get another car as cool as that one, so then he can take one to each prom.
Yeah, well, he did say the other one. I just don't remember. He said he was okay with taking his. He didn't want to take it. I think he likes this other one because the parking lot situation's better. We're still talking about he didn't think about that. They're probably going to get something to eat before, and I was like, "Where are you going to go to eat?" So he's still ironing that stuff out. So until I'm not going to say yes till I know all the details.
Gotcha.
And you got to do pictures too. That's a new prom now. They act like it's a wedding. Got to have to go somewhere to get pictures. It has to be a professional top photographer. It can't even be the parents anymore.
He's taking that car to prom, and they're gonna shoot a music, like a rap video with your car, and there's gonna have all kinds of people
Well,
sitting on the hood, and they're all
he already told he's talked to two of his friends that have like big jacked up trucks, and he's like, they already said they'd park on each side of the car. I'm like, I do kind of like that. That's kind of cool.
Well,
So that's, yeah,
speaking
that's
of new
fun.
cars, did you hear Sedge's big news?
No.
I walked onto the CarMax lot the Saturday I got back. I got back Friday afternoon, and Saturday morning I was determined to go get a new vehicle. So I picked out four and saw three, drove two, and picked out the first one I saw. I got a 2023 Jeep Gladiator.
Oh, nice. Nice. My
I
next door
needed a
neighbor has one across the street.
I mean, I drove it to Lowe's today, this afternoon, and Pascal and Karina and Micaiah were coming in, and Pascal goes, "That is amazing color. It's a battleship gray."
Okay. My neighbor
And
across the
it's
street has a gray Battleship gray one. It's nice. I like it.
wow, I am
Yeah.
so impressed with it.
Yeah, they're nice. That's awesome. Cameron will be excited.
Yeah, I know. I was just
Yeah.
thinking of that. I was gonna say,
Yeah.
I got something Cameron's got.
That's awesome.
And
I didn't think you were going to say that. That actually
I
surprises
didn't
me. I thought
either.
you were going to say, I don't know. I thought you were going to say, just off the top of my head, I like Avalon or something along those lines, something like, I thought you were like a four-door sedan kind of guy or something. I don't know.
No way, dude.
I see you more as a, it's probably because you have a car now. You have a car now, but that's an awesome choice. Those are great. My neighbors just took theirs on spring break. They just went to the beach in it. They took four people, and he said he loves it. He loves to take it on a trip.
It's got a 5 foot pickup bed. But what I like about it is, and I found this out, I was telling everybody last week, Ronnie, I must have watched 30 different Jeep Gladiator YouTube videos and mods and all this other stuff, right? And I
Already
walk in and
buying
I'm talking,
stuff.
and oh yeah, I walked in, I was talking to Matt, and I was like, I bought it because I could store plywood, as you tilt it in like Jason does. He looks at me, he goes, "You haven't seen this yet? They designed the truck body with notches. And when I can put 2x4s horizontally, vertically." And I bought that today. I bought some tube pressure treat just to prototype it. And then the gate, there's two grommets on the side. So you take the cables and you twist them around these grommets. And now from the front of the truck all the way, and the gate becomes a support too.
That's nice.
And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
That's so
It's
cool.
like with this Jeep, they think of everything.
Yeah. What about the cover on the bed? I think that's a good one too for if you go on a trip, having the bed cover. That's probably a good mod to look at because it makes it more functional. Same as my Tundra, I had that. It was awesome.
And I'm gonna I'm looking into that, and I'm getting running boards.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll
They had.
install them.
His wife drives that one a lot, and she required the running boards to be able to get in and out. She said that she had to do that.
Yeah,
But
Mary
yours
Ann's having
said,
a difficulty getting in a little bit.
is Battleship gray like a darker gray? Because theirs is like a light
It is a
gray.
lighter gray.
Okay.
Jason, is that how you would describe it? Like a battleship
Yeah,
gray?
it's weird because obviously it's a gloss because it's paint. So like it looks glossy, but it's like a matte gray
Yes.
is the
Is it
way.
also, it's like a great white.
Yes.
A great white
Yes.
shark.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. I like it.
Wow. It's very
That's
cool.
close to Cameron's is not far off that. This has got a
Toyota
little
makes
blue
a
speck in
color
it.
similar to that
Yeah, they
for like
do.
the Tundras and the Tacomas and stuff. As soon as
Yes.
I saw it, I love that the way that that looks. I think it looks fantastic, especially when you have
Yeah.
like black wheels and stuff. I think it looks
Yes.
really, really good.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, I'm excited. Cameron will be excited to hear that too. That's awesome.
You'll see
They're
it.
great.
You'll see it in a few weeks in May when you're
And
up.
you'll be laughing at the weather when the weather comes, because it's interesting how you always hear about Jeeps and people are like, oh, and that people forget that they're what they're made for. And Cameron and I have been blown away. We've went off different things just playing around with it. It's like you cannot get those stuck. And the approach angle, you can go right up to a hill and it just climbs no problem at all. You think the wheel's getting ready to spin? It doesn't. Just no problem at all. It's very impressive. They're fun. They're fun. And there's no end to things you can do for them. You could
I
spend what
know.
you spent on it
It's
easy.
crazy. It's
Easy.
crazy.
Yeah, easy. And Cameron's gotten to the point where he knows all the mods. We'll be on the road and there'll be one in front of us. He's like, Dad, you see that axle? That axle is $15,000 on that Jeep. And there's two of them that they change out to Dana axles. And then you change, it's one of those things you change one thing out, you start to change everything else out because everything has to be as beefy as what, all the way out to the wheels, or you're going to break something. So once you start that, it's a slippery slope, but it's
What
cool.
size wheels does he have on his?
35
35s.
tires. Yeah, 35 tires. And there's a magic ratio there that he's mastered. Some people do, too big of wheels for what hit to his opinion with smaller tires, and but you kind of want it to be kind of look right. So I don't remember his size of his wheels. I'm thinking they're like 15 or 16s, and then 35s are the tires.
Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
good
Yeah.
combo.
Yeah. It's that he's got really probably 10 inch sidewalls, somewhere in
Wow.
that range. But yeah, I think that's usually what you see. People usually go when they do upgrade the size, they go to that size in the 30s range. But they're fun. Well, that's awesome. That's good. I hadn't listened to the podcast from last week yet because I was planning on doing it this morning and I had one fire after another this morning and it's thrown me off to where this has not been a productive, well, and plus the clips. We all met at Country Boy this afternoon, let Cameron get out of school early. So it kind of shot the day as far as getting anything done. So I'm not even caught up on the podcast yet. So I didn't know anything about that. Yeah.
Did you see my message I sent you, Ronnie?
Yes,
Are you,
that
is
we
that
are.
something you can discuss?
We are actively, like 30 minutes ago, even working on that situation. And I hope in the next 2 days there's something to share. But
Cool. So maybe next week.
it is to the point of it's either going to happen or it's not. Yeah. So hopefully we'll have an update for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair
Yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
There's
Yep.
been some people asking, obviously.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Yeah. So it's we're good. We're close. We're getting there. Yep. That is, it's always something, isn't
Yeah.
it?
One thing that we didn't mention is we have a little trip, a little meetup the three of us need to do sometime in like end of May, early June, sometime maybe.
For sure.
Go do a
Okay.
little recon
Yep.
Okay.
of the old Levee area.
Oh.
Maybe we
Yes.
should make
Oh
it an
yeah.
overnight trip for the three of us.
Yeah. I was, it's funny you said that. I was thinking the other day, I was like, if I go by there soon, I need to use my drone and like send you all some videos or something where you can just kind of see.
No, all three of us are going to go.
Yeah.
We're
Oh,
going to
that's
scope
great.
out the lay of the land. We're
Yeah,
going to get a
let me
really good
know.
idea
That's
for it.
actually a very good idea. Go and see. That's a Japanese term. Go and see. Genchi Genbutsu. That means go
Wow,
and see.
never ceases to amaze me.
That means go and see.
Wow. Wow.
It's
Did you
a
learn?
Toyota principle all the way to the president. You need to, if there's a problem, you need to go and see. Or if you want to find out, go and see.
Interesting.
Random question for you
Sometimes.
guys. Have you ever seen these?
Are they little threaded things, the nut and the bolt that you 3D print?
I didn't 3D print it. There are these for the listeners.
Space plug.
Space plugs.
Huh. That's
So,
okay. That's
Spaceballs cousins?
what are you attempting to plug?
It's a well, this is a family podcast, so I can't really talk about that.
Family podcast.
It is a company out of the UK, kind of like YouScribe, right? But
Yep.
this is not for scribing. This is to take up space between cabinets. And the reason I got them, they have different sizes. So, like this threads in, and it obviously can go further or shorter, but you drill a hole through the cabinet on the side or in the back, and any space that's there that you don't want it to, it acts as a shim, but it's you set the size of it, right? And the reason I ended up getting these is because when I do the built-in,
The back.
not only the back, yes, but not only the back, also the sides. So in that opening, I'm not building the
Yep.
boxes to be exactly the size of the opening. I'm going to leave, 25 mil, something like that, on the sides. These are too big for that application. But I got a pack of both. So they have ones that are smaller. So it's just the expansion abilities of them. But I thought it was pretty genius. I'm like, oh, this will be perfect because now I can just bolt these things in to the walls on the side as well. So they won't go anywhere, right? And then as I'm drilling them in, I'm not worrying about the cabinet shifting left or right?
I think it's
So
a neat idea. I've never had the luxury of using those, so I always just left the gap and screwed into the studs in the back, and then knowing once I had it tied into the stud, it wasn't going to be able to move anyway. But that's a handy thing to keep it from moving. Did you ever cut blocks of wood, Sedge, or did you just leave them open?
No, I would drill a hole and just foam it in.
Yeah. I mean, why would you do anything
Foam
else?
it in. Leave no voids.
No. I like the side insulate the cabinets.
You bring in the foamer, the foam guy, and foam in each one of them.
Got to make sure everything in that cabinet
Yeah.
stays at this consistent temperature.
That way, if somebody ever tears out their cabinet job, they're like, why did this
Nope.
guy foam between each one of the cabinets?
Oh my God. Those are really ingenious
Yeah,
if you
they
really
are.
think
They're.
about, because you have to be really good to, if you're installing something to make, like you said, Ron, you have to be really good to drill in and make sure that that cabinet's not tweaked.
Yeah,
Right.
not moving. Once it tightens, it doesn't pull it out. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. That's kind of one of those ideas that's something that you think is a game you have to play, but that kind of eliminates that game of knowing when to stop with your screw. That's
Now,
and that's that would be a good 3D printed thing too.
yeah, absolutely. I thought it was just interesting. Somebody mentioned, because I was talking about this was, 2, 3 months ago when I was first starting or supposed to start building this damn built-in. And I was talking about how I was going to attach it in the back and what I was going to do because the wall is not perfectly, it's not the same depth from the front wall to the back wall on both sides. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to build these, 25 mil less than the depth of the actual cabinet, put a ledger strip, basically. It's not really a ledger strip, but put a strip across the back, knowing that I could screw through the cabinet into that. And then my primary means of securing this would actually be through the sides, the top, in the actual opening, because I have wood framing all right there. So I wouldn't have to worry as much. Somebody says, have you ever thought about using space plugs? And I'd seen these before a couple of times on social media. And I was like, yeah. And so I was going to order some. And then I was like, yeah, they're going to take too long. Funny story about that. I still haven't started the built-in, so I could have ordered them. So finally, I just said, screw it. I'm going to order some. And then when I have the scenario where I would actually need them, I have a whole bunch of them ready to go. But
Are
I
they
can't
expensive?
imagine.
Are they
No,
expensive?
I got them off Amazon.
They're $79 each.
Yeah, each individual one, $79. So yeah, not bad.
Hey, you need to, when you do your video on it, use like nine of them between each
Yeah,
cabinet.
just to piss people off. Hold on, I can tell
Just
you exactly how
fill
much
it
they
up.
cost. Let me see your orders. Let's see. They cost. I actually ordered these a little while ago. They did take one of them got here real quick. The smaller ones did, but the other ones took a little bit of time. And of course, I can't find them now. So I guess it's not that important. Space
Space
plug.
plugs. That is now. I really think that they should. Space balls should buy them out. The floating balls that go in the recessed. I mean, the raised panel doors. And then they have a whole new division. They're like they announced to all their employees, we're no longer just space balls. We're space. What are they called?
plugs,
We're
space
space
plugs,
plugs
the
and space
kitchen fitter's
balls.
friend,
Yes.
and we own the movie rights to Spaceballs.
There you go.
My
There you
Schwartz is as big as yours.
go. I mean,
My
they're balls and plugs. They could be called the corporation name.
yeah, bulbs
So
and plugs.
I got a 25 pack of the regular, which are for 30 to 50 millimeter gaps. I don't see a price on there for these, but the space plugs that can, the large ones, you can do 45 to 80 millimeter gaps. A 50 pack of those is like $76. And then I also got the mini size, which is for gaps 15 millimeters to 35 millimeters. And a 100 pack was like $47.
Okay.
So not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Even comparing to 3D printing, once you factor in, it's that's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
As long as it's not something, crazy, the dollarish range or a little bit higher is reasonable, I think. When you
Yeah, no,
factor the time to print.
we'll see how they work out. I'm sure they'll be fine. My luck, I'll be outside of the tolerances for all of the ones that I have.
Won't quite fit. Yeah. That's
I'll
like when
only
you buy a
have.
tool. You buy a
Yeah, I
specific tool
actually,
and it just doesn't quite fit.
thinking about that now, I actually do need to go to my SketchUp file and see because now that I'm thinking about it, I may not have 15 millimeters on each side around. I think I do. I think I plan for 25. I'll almost always do give myself like an inch everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, this is a really good plug for those plugs.
That
Yeah.
is, it is. You know,
Yeah.
I
I can make an Amazon affiliate link for these. I think of how much
Nice.
money I'd make off those,
You'll
like
make like, or
$6.
5 cents.
Yeah,
Wow.
$6 if 100 people ordered them. Yeah.
I think that sometimes the hardest thing is admitting it. I want to admit something for the first time publicly. I think I have lost my R150. I think I've lost it.
No
What?
way.
You know how you something you look for it, like it's in your shop, you're like, oh, I probably put it in another sustainer, a random sustainer, or it's in the van, or I must have done this. That's been going on now for about 3-ish weeks. And then I started spending some time looking, and I'm like, okay, it's definitely not in the van. It's definitely not here. Cameron has looked. We both have looked. And I'm like, I'm thinking, did I take it home and use it for something specific and leave it kind of somewhere? I'm starting to run out of places. And I'm like, what, how do you just lose a sander?
Have you not used it on your boat at all?
We've been using the 5-inch sizes, and I've just been doing without because, and we do a lot of the hand, that little, what is it called? The 2-foot board we made that with
Yeah,
the
fairing
sandpaper.
board.
Yeah, the fairing boards. We've been doing a lot of that. On the R150, we're at a stage where if we could almost do too much, it's too aggressive. We could start doing kind of like a little pattern in it if we use that too much. So yeah, I have not been using it for that, but it's made me realize how much I use my 150. It is my workhorse, and I use it for things all the time. And I told Cameron, I said, if I don't see it soon, I'm just gonna have to get another one. If the other one turns up, I probably should have two anyway. But I'm surprised
It recently
because.
happened, Ronnie. It recently happened to me at work. I misplaced something, and I drove me 100% batshit crazy looking for it. And you know where it was?
Where?
Right where I had put it. I
That's
spent,
what
there was one afternoon I spent 3 hours looking for this, and I couldn't
that
find it. And I'm trying to, right now I'm trying to remember what it was. And then all of a sudden I went, oh, I know where it
I'm
is.
still feel like that could be the case, but I'm
Yeah,
running
I
out of
hit it.
places to think of. I'm starting to I even didn't even worry about it for like a week and a half. I was like, it's gonna turn up. I used it for something. I'm not thinking about it, but you start getting to a point where you're like, still not seeing that. I'm still not coming across that.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought it was in the van somewhere. I was kind of stuck on that. The only thing I have not looked in the van is if it's some of my Rogue shared containers, if I may have, and also Cameron, it's that's a bad thing is when you have two people, he may have decided to throw it in when we're picking up for a job
Yep.
and didn't think anything of it, and it may be still there, but it's just a very odd thing to lose such a large tool. Now, laser measures, I lose those all the time and I find them again, but I have not lost a Festool sander before. There's a slight chance. I mean, I work in nice neighborhoods. Sometimes I leave, the side door, back door, leave it open when I'm for extended amount of time, and it's always okay. And there's a slight chance somebody could have grabbed it. There's a small chance, but I'm not really thinking of that as being a possibility, which makes me think it would be nice to have air tags on all your tools.
Yeah. I mean, you
But
could absolutely put them in your sustainers.
yeah, I think in mine would have to be on the tool because I've never lost a sustainer in tool, but I've misplaced tools before.
Is the
Yeah.
Rotex in a sustainer?
I don't normally keep it in a sustainer. It usually hangs on the wall on my wall control in the shop. And I did take it for something. I can't remember the last thing where it was with me in the van or I took it somewhere. And that's where it's not back now. So I'm just. So when I said this out loud, I'm accepting that it might be gone.
You
But
know what's going to happen, right?
what?
You're going to get another one and you're going to find it.
Oh,
Oh, yeah.
that's what happens every time with the laser. That's why I have
Yep.
seven laser measures.
Do you really?
Yes.
That ain't right.
You know, the funniest one that I ever lost. I lost a laser measure for like 2 years. And I used to have this little red Porter Cable pancake compressor. And it had a
Oh, the
handle on the
worst.
top. I had a handle on the top. It was my first air compressor. It had a handle on the top. And I got a phone call one day and I was sitting there on the phone. I was sitting there and I looked to the angle where the handle was and I saw the laser measure sitting
No
in the
way.
handle, in the little recess of the handle. It fit perfectly. So perfect that if you looked in there, you almost could not see it. It was
No.
black rectangle, exactly the same shape. It had fallen in there somehow. And was lost for it was close to 2 years. I thought it was long gone.
What?
I've generally found every laser measure I thought I lost. It's hard though. Laser measures use them all the time. I have found the best place to keep it for me is the side pocket of my van door because I always need it for quotes and measuring. I know when I'm going to need it when I get out and I can grab it, but when I'm done, I just put it right there. It doesn't make sense to put it in the back of the van or I need it all the time. So I have a tape measure and a laser measure in that side pocket and I just know it's there. And that's been the best place so far for me. Every other place I've tried to put it doesn't seem to work with my methodology. Does that make sense? I don't
Yeah,
know.
big time.
That's
So, what brand of laser measure do you like?
Bosch. I've always used the
Me
Bosch.
too.
I've never used any other brand. I mean, I know there's other, stability. There's other brands that make good ones. But since Bosch came out, I've been using it to install crown molding, everything. It's been accurate. So I've never swayed. I've actually met with Bosch engineers more than once, 3 times, and told them what I liked and didn't like about them, and they've changed, and some of them have been better than others. The biggest thing I've learned is you just have to make sure it does 16th of an inch and
Yep.
not 32nd. I have a four, about three of them that does 32nd of an inch, and you cannot change that. And that's a deal. I can't figure that out. I don't think in 32nds. And I think
Yeah.
that was just the engineers thinking that'd be impressive, but somebody in most trades, they're not measuring to the 32nd of an inch.
No. Just so you know, you can also do metric on those, Ronnie.
Yeah, I don't speak metric. I will maybe someday. I just don't speak in that. Yeah, you were saying earlier what your spacing between the cabinet was. I was thinking, I have no idea what you're saying right now.
Yeah, like, wait, what?
You were like 80 mil with 50 mil, and I was like, that could be 5 feet. I don't even know what
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense.
that
I have
That's
a
good.
because you talked about the losing your
That's
Rotex,
good.
I have a topic that we can talk about, and it's actually the next YouTube video I'm releasing. So let me start this by saying, all of you that are listening, please still watch my video, even if I divulge what my recommendations would be today. I'm releasing a video this week that is what I believe the first three Festool tools that a beginner should buy, and or
Oh.
somebody that's looking to get into Festool. And I do the video, I start at my number three choice, then number two, and I end on my number one. I'm very interested to hear what your guys's three recommendations would be. And let me also state that I am targeting mine more so at the beginner, because Sedge, I'm sure you get this question a lot too. I'm thinking about buying my first Festool. Which one should I get, right?
I had the question about 10 minutes before the podcast started.
Really?
I get it every day of my life.
Yes, always. It's the most common Festool question I think I have ever gotten, is always, I'm thinking about getting this. And believe it or not, most of these people who are asking me questions are what? Beginners. And you know what? I will say that people that are new to woodworking are way more willing to spend money on good tools now as a result of social media. Because 10 years ago, you didn't see all of these people owning these tools and having these tools. And now you see all of these people having them and owning them. What does it make you do? It makes you want them. And then it makes you go, you know what? I can see that this is a great tool. I'm going to save and get it. So that's why I targeted it mainly at the beginner. Plus, it'll probably get more clicks on YouTube if I'm like, beginners must buy these tomorrow, right? So, out of curiosity,
Mine,
what would
I
be
know.
your number three?
I would say number three,
Yeah,
like, so
start with
the
your
least of the
third,
three. I'm
least
gonna
of the
say the
three.
RO150. I think
Okay.
the RO150, that was my first Festool sander, and it went for a while. I used it for almost my everything sander. I was using it for everything because it was a game changer for me. From that, it made sanding enjoyable. Sanding was a challenge. I think sanding changes your work from okay to a whole nother level. And I feel like that sander can do so much. I think it helps when it's gone for 3 weeks and you realize how important it is.
Right.
And then I'll always say dust collector and track saw as a number one and two. Always, that
No,
was my number one and
you weren't
two.
supposed to share the number one and number two.
Oh, I think that's a given. I've said that
Okay, so your
before.
three are Rotex.
Yeah.
Number two is what?
Number two is the dust collector, and number one's a track saw. And I would say the 60. If someone was looking, I think the 60 is, if I had to choose from all of them, that would be the one I would pick.
Okay.
Feel like it's the all around, it cuts deeper. It's if you're working at a bench. Now, if you're not working at a bench, you're working mobile, it'd be the HKC. But those two are the ones I think are the, yeah, one or the other.
Okay. Sedge.
DS55.
We
Oh,
lost
you
you.
just
You
cut
hit
out.
your you hit your button. You hit your button.
Yeah.
You
You're
hit your button on the microphone. Nope.
try.
Can't hear you.
Check your cord on the bottom. I
It was
think it
funny.
was
I
when you
saw
hit
it.
it.
I saw it as it happened. He like
Yeah.
went and hit the microphone as he moved it.
Yeah, I think
No.
I see the yellow. It's the yellow. I heard him say TS-55.
I
that
did
was
okay.
You
re-
oh,
there
yep,
you go.
Gotcha. Okay,
yep.
you ready? Okay, so I just dealt with somebody really cool, real thankful, and he said, I've watched all everybody's videos. What's your number one choice? Okay, so he wanted to know Sander and a CR-150. So then when you said, what would be your third, I had to think about it. Because after I responded, he came back and he told me what his, he asked me, dust extractor. And for me, it's always CT26. Okay, so Ronnie, you hit it. TS60, CT26, RO150, and then a domino. Now, but it all depends on what you're doing.
True.
But he did preclude it to say, I work on the weekends, and I'm getting into woodworking. And then he dropped that he already had a track saw and a domino. And I was like, okay, so
he's in the starter pack.
But that is that's the toughest question, because I always, when somebody asks me that question, I go, I always want to, I use the word qualify. I want to make sure I'm recommending the right tools for the what that person needs. I will not oversell somebody ever or over recommend something just because, you know, that's my job. I'm a product trainer, but I want to make sure that people are put in the right tool. Like here's what I'll tell you. Someone says, well, I don't know if I need that. I go, you don't at the moment. Save your money. Don't buy something, you know, you don't need this whatever Festool tool. Get this instead, and it's more expensive, so save the money. You don't need it right away.
Yeah.
But operate off the assumption. Operate off the assumption that the person, again, because I'm looking at this more of the beginner or somebody that's looking to get into Festool as a system. So go on the assumption that they have nothing. Like this is the first three things that they would buy. Because you're right. It totally depends on what your next tool purchase would be based on what it is that you already have.
Yeah.
But like, even if somebody had a track saw, for instance, you know, a Craig or a Milwaukee or a DeWalt or whoever, all the other companies out there, you know, that doesn't mean I wouldn't recommend a Festool one, because you would get a better quality track saw by getting so. So, do you guys want to hear what my three were?
Okay, I just want to mention one thing. Ronnie, you said something about the RO150. People cheapen and get one of those Festool Great Sander ETS-125 because it's less expensive but that's not a good starting one.
Right.
A good starting one is the RO150 because it does so much more. It's like three machines in one.
Yep. And a lot of your mistakes as a beginning woodworker can be corrected with the RO150.
Exactly.
If your face frame doesn't line up, get out the RO150 and make it line up. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with it. I used the RO150 on face frames forever before I got the 90 or I got the RO90.
And the other one, someone will look at a price point when it's a CT MIDI. Oh, the one that kills me is the CT SIS. No, that is a very specific tool. Don't go for the lower price. Go for the CT26. You have the capacity.
Yes. The CT SIS is perfect when I put in a screen door.
Yeah.
It's perfect for getting out quickly. I can pick up all my aluminum shavings. I can get it and I'm in and out. But it's not one I'd want to use as my, you know, yeah, like exactly what you say.
I think we're going to have an interesting discussion now.
Uh-oh. What's you going to say space balls?
No.
No, he's going to say ETS-125.
No,
I
would
else?
Never say the 125 ever. But my three were, number three was the Domino. Number two is an ETS EC-155.
Good choice. Excellent choice.
And my number one is the dust extractor, obviously. And the one that I used in the video is actually, I've always recommended the CT26. However, I really like the newest generation MIDI. And again, thinking for somebody who's getting into the system to start, I think the MIDI saves a little bit of money. You get a few more features and it's a great thing. Now, I did not include the track saw. And a matter of fact, my The track saw is what I used for the thumbnail, and I actually put something like wrong or, you know, not this or whatever, just to be people like, oh, you didn't say a track saw, and like everybody thinks festival track saw. Here's my reasoning, and we can discuss your guys's reasoning behind each one as well. Said you did with the sander, so I actually bring that up when in the video I pick up the Rotex 150 and I'm like, number two is a Festool sander, and I was like, but for me, I am not saying the Rotex 150, and I give a laundry list of reasons why. But I knew how much you love that sander, and I love the sander too. It's fantastic. But I used it from, again, a beginner's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I chose the Domino is because as a beginner, what's something that you want to increase your proficiency on? A better joinery method. Get away from rabbits and dados and maybe finger joints and maybe, you know, pocket hole screws
pocket
or whatever.
Screws. Yeah.
And you want a really solid joint that you can make very quickly and increase your production levels. It will open a lot of doors for you, and it will help you out with your building because you can do dry fits with it. You can use connectors. You can do all kinds of great things. Awesome machine. Most beginners probably have a table saw. They probably have a circular saw. They probably have a track saw. They probably have one of those things already. So that was my mindset there, right?
Oh,
it's a very
okay.
specialized
yep.
tool.
Okay.
The sander, as much as I love the Rotex 150, a beginner, it can be quite challenging using that sander for the first time as somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience with it. Sedge does a fantastic job of like showing the proper way to hold it. Like I've seen you do multiple videos like on Festool Live and on your own channel. It really does matter how you hold it, but that's not natural for most people. And that thing can get away from you really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I
really,
always
especially
coach
the 150. 125 is bad enough.
Listen, that's a good train of thought of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
now,
because for a beginner,
we think of it for people
no,
that
for
are
a beginner.
Exactly.
Because the Rotex is a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the other thing, though. If you master the 150, all the other standards are easy.
Oh, for sure. That's true.
That's
it's
like,
just such you could do so much with the 150.
Yeah.
You could scribe. You could,
yes.
You know, you can
that's why
take
I love my 90.
Down material.
Yeah, it's
and,
very
oh
aggressive.
Oh, my God. It's perfect.
And, you know, I totally meant to talk about the additional benefit of polishing, but I didn't like my recommendation was not the Rotex for a beginner. So I kind of left that out, but you're right. In terms of like the end all be all of sanders, like the Rotex literally will do everything. But when it comes to if it's not in Rotex mode, you're getting a 5 millimeter stroke with the Rotex 150, just like you are with the ETS-EC. So I was like, for a beginner, the ETS-EC is a much easier sander to control.
It is.
It's lighter weight, and you're still getting the aggressiveness that you need, but not as aggressive as a Rotex.
So you okay? So
I
this
agree.
Is so important that I want to make sure everybody realizes who's listening. It's everybody goes to a 5-inch platform. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us mentioned 150, a 6-inch platform. Jason, you nailed it. You didn't go with a slash 3. You said slash 5. That's the way to go. But it was important to hear you guys say 150 because a 6-inch sander is the way to go, no matter what. But everybody was so caught up on these palm sanders all these years, and that's why we have them, you know, at Festool. You have to have them. But boy, there's a night and day difference in productivity.
Oh, absolutely.
When you go from a 5-inch to a 6-inch. And that's why we went with that EC, because of the ergonomics. And that 6-inch is a palm sander that is very aggressive with a 6-inch pad. That low, it emulates a DA sander or a pneumatic sander.
You honestly,
it's amazing.
You know what I truly believe is the thing that stops most people from going to the 6-inch sander is that when they buy a new sander, they don't want to waste the sandpaper that they had.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is
like
so silly. Because for one, if you're switching to Festool, you're not going to use your old sandpaper anyway. So unless you have a bunch of 5-inch 3M sandpaper or Merca or Abernet or whatever all the other crazy ones are.
You know, it's amazing how long I held on to my, call it the home sitter brown sandpaper that you have your collection before you start using Vestool. And I held on to that for a long time in my mind, thinking, well, someday I'm going to use that sandpaper again for something. Finally, I was like, I'm never going to use this again. I'm throwing it away because it almost looks like toy sandpaper compared to the other brands. You start looking at it, you're like, I'm not using this. You know, it's a sticky back kind, not even the Velcro. You just get spoiled to that Velcro and not. I think about my sanders that first had that flat where you had to peel the label and stick them on there. That's just such an extra step. So extra.
It's
Get
that's really
spoiled.
twenty-four.
That was I'm really stoked to see that video because you make some killer points on that.
It'll be
I'm
coming
always
out. I was going to release it on Sunday, but after this last video that I released with Nicole, like it just completely freaking bombed. I know it has nothing to do with the day that I released it, but I'll probably release this on Friday morning, probably when this podcast comes out, actually. But I wanted to, oh, this conversation actually reminds me now that we're talking about sanding. I need to buy another ETS 125 because I have a idea for a video. Said you've seen it, the DeWalt sander that's sitting in my shop, that random orbit still in the box. So I bought that a few months ago, and I bought on Amazon a box of assortment of 5-inch crap paper, you know, Power Force or whatever it is, the typical stuff that somebody getting into woodworking would probably buy. And then I want to do a comparison side by side to a Festool sander with some really good quality paper and a dust extractor and the whole system, and then do kind of like a weird one in the middle, which is like the pores, the you know the lower quality sander with a dust extractor, see what results I get. And then I want to put it under like a light, like a raking light, and see what the difference is between. But I want to use the ETS 125 because that is more comparable to the DeWalt because of
Yes,
the stroke
absolutely.
size. I would hate to use the ETS EC and then just like, look how much faster this is. Like, yeah, no crap. It's a 5 millimeter stroke, you know? So, but I've always wanted to get another one anyway, so I can have one connected to my right angle attachment and then have the other one that I can use. 'Cause I use that sander for sanding finish. And I hate switching between the two, but so we were tangent. I need to do that video. I'm doing that as soon as I get back from Germany.
That's a really good video.
I've wanted to do it for so long. I don't know why I haven't done it
Well,
yet.
it's I've always wanted to do something at Festool, but we don't do comparisons. We just go on our own merit. And the one thing I will always tell people in every single class I've ever taught there, hey, you ever use a 5-inch random over sand? And everybody goes, yeah. And I go, well, what happens after 10 minutes? Oh, and they all go like this.
Single.
Okay, the tingle dingle, right? And I go, now if I won't make you, but you can use that ETS 125 for 2, 3 hours, you will get zero tingling. It's because of the balanced motor, it's precision balanced. Festool winds every single one of their motors. We make our motors so we can, how do you say? I always say command the quality. This isn't a Festool podcast. We're not sponsored by Festool, but I wish I could take each and every one of you to the factory in Nidlingen to see how we make that happen. It's called vibration stop.
Well,
And
that's
it's
actually one of
amazing.
the things on my little outline that I created for the video. I actually have a question mark next to it, like how in this video, because that's a huge point. You know, whether this one takes a little bit longer, one gives more swirl marks, one doesn't. You know, obviously the better quality stuff's going to be faster, all of these different things, right? But how
I know.
do you how do you show that other than
Put
me
the
just saying?
sander, see if you can stand like something up. Like maybe a coin might be too much, but there'll be something that you can stand up on end and sand right by it. And then when you turn the other one on, it will not stand up. That would be a good representation.
I'll try that. That's not a
Really
bad
tough.
idea.
It's tough.
I did a post once because my paramedic saw when I went turn that motor on, it's just like instant on and it does not move. And I put a quarter on the, it's a nickel or a quarter. I just put it on the bed and turned it on. And it had a lot of people were really interested in it. I started seeing it more after that, but I was just trying to show how stable it was when it starts up. That's a nice thing about a big, heavy tool. But I have a feeling since it doesn't vibrate your hands, there's going to be a difference there. in how much it vibrates,
I'm
other than
sure that
saying
there's
there's.
some sort of like indicator that you can get where you could turn it on, like clamp it, for instance, turn it on and like touch it to it, and it'll give you like a vibration number or something like that. But I haven't really looked into it that much. But that was the big question. Everything else I know I can easily show.
Right. Yeah, something like that. If you get away with putting
Such.
like a nickel, or
He
like
hit his
a if you
button
could,
again.
if you could get away with hitting a nickel, sanding a nickel up, for example, a foot away, and you showed sanding with it and it fell over on the other one, that would be very telling. Think about. Ooh, I wonder if what you could balance on top of the sander if you just turned it on.
Or you could turn it on and where you can balance the sander to test for vibration.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Turn his microphone back off
Yeah, turn it back off. Turn it back off. Jesus.
there's some ideas there.
Well, so.
I can see somebody doing it. I prefer the Harbor Freight for all the vibration.
It just gets louder. Hey, are you going to do anything with sound? Are you going to do decibels?
Yeah,
I'm
probably.
wondering. Yeah, I'm wondering. I'm thinking that the DeWalt, just an example, I think DeWalt would be louder. I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
I think it probably will, but the other thing too that you have to take into consideration is with the festival, it's going to be hooked up to the dust extractor.
Well, it doesn't
That's
have
going to
to
be
be
an
for the
additional
test.
noise.
Just for the test, I wouldn't hook it up.
No, I'm going to, because that's what I'm trying to. I've thought about trying to do multiple ones, like without the dust extractor, with the dust extractor. But what I'm trying to point out in the video, I had this idea a while back. It's like, how can I show in a video? And I did this on the using a straight edge to identify if you're using too much clamping pressure, right? Because it'll
Yeah,
tell you
that's a
very quickly that you're using too
great
much, right?
video. Yep.
So my thought process was, how can I make videos that show, visually show why something costs more, right? Because all I hear from people, oh, I could do the same thing with this tool. Oh, I could, get the same results with this. I can do this. Why would I spend that much money on this? Well, it's like, well, let me show you, right? Because a lot of people don't do that. Let's put it side by side and show you. Now, here's what could happen. I could do this test and both could come out perfectly fine. They really could. I don't know. I haven't tested it yet. But I think that's the fun part of the video, is to find out. But if I'm able to show, like, this is why this costs more. If you're buying a Festool sander, you absolutely should be hooking it up to a dust extractor, because
Yes.
that's what gives you better performance, right? Because like, I'm going to use the DeWalt with just the bag that comes on it. Why? Because that's how usually people would buy it. But this takes me back to the number one thing that I recommended, and the only thing that we all agreed upon was a dust extractor. And that's important, because the three of us are looking at it and going, an extractor is absolutely, it's if not the most important thing, it's that in the top two. My opinion is it's the most important thing. I think it's the first thing that you should buy. And I think it should be paired with a sander. Like, that should be your first entry level into. Why? Because a dust extractor paired to a Festool sander will be one of the greatest investments that you would make, because it's going to take something that sucks and makes it a very different experience. And that's what gets you into the whole system, right?
And you can
So,
clean up when you're done. You can clean
yeah,
up. You know,
like, I
it's
want to be
like.
able to show that. Like, here's why you spend more money. Better results, faster, cleaner, safer, right?
You know,
Or you can spend $200 and get a DeWalt random orbital sander and Gator paper.
I think something that I would like to see on a test, like you said, it could be impressive what the DeWalt may have a random, like a large enough stroke that it still does a good job at aggressively, you know, that kind of thing. But I'd like to see like a rough sawn piece of cedar, maybe the exact same amount of time, same grit, and see in the same amount of time what does one do versus the other. I would like to see that. And then could you operate with one finger? Could you operate
Yeah,
one
I
finger on top?
actually. So my idea behind this.
Tell us how much it runs around, you know?
Well, I probably shouldn't be. Well, I don't know. Not many other people that listen to our podcast have YouTube channels, but now I'm thinking that
I'm
somebody's going to
like,
take this and run
you're
with
sanding like this and operating with one finger. Like,
it.
I'm not getting this,
No, I mean,
Ronnie.
just like, you know how it's going to kind of, you can't plug it in and just let it run. But if you, it would tell you the stability of it by just,
Yes,
I'm
the
guessing on the
balance pet.
Festool, You
The
could probably
balance
put
pad.
one finger on top and hold it.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if you could do that with another brand, like a lower.
Yeah, because there's a variety of reasons why there's low vibration. One of them is the counterweight, because people just put a counterweight in it to get the force of it to spin. We precision grind ours.
Each one to each
The,
tool, right?
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that blew me away on the track saw that each one is balanced individually for each saw.
Do you know,
That's
do you want to
amazing.
hear some, you know, something cool? The first like 2 or 3 years of the Domino, they would test each one serial on a piece of oak. Okay. And just, you know, take all the measurements on that piece of oak, cut it, and put it in a place like a filing cabinet with each serial number
That's cool.
before it went in the sustainer.
Oh, wow. That's really
It was
cool.
crazy.
That's neat. And that's some of the seeing that really helps you to see kind of the differences of why it costs so much. There's things like that versus it just flying down a line and being assembled by a
Oh,
machine and thrown in a box.
the testing that was done on all the products is incredible.
That's neat.
I mean, people go, "Oh, how much is a Domino DF500 cutter?" And they'll tell me, "No, 35, $45." Oh, and they try to sharpen them. People say, "Oh, yeah, but you had to use an exceptional sharpener for them, because then you're going to
Right,
be
because then it's going to
sanding
be
the
a different
dominoes."
size.
So it's I always it's a, well, how long do they last? And I go, well, in testing, we did 15,000 cuts in long grain pine, and 5,000 cuts in end grain maple.
I
They
still
go,
have
huh? I do
original
too. They just
bits.
go, what? They go, what?
I've never bought a Domino bit for the XL or the regular one.
Yeah.
Neither
Yeah,
one.
I've got all my original ones.
And I'm sure they're probably dull, but they still work, so I don't really.
Still
It's not
makes a nice. Still
high on
makes a
my
nice
priority
clean
list.
mortise.
Yeah, as long
Yeah.
as it does, who cares?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good one. I agree with your list.
The
I
yep,
do.
I do too.
Well, something that I highlight in the video is that a lot of people don't realize that about Festool. Like, there's two things that I think a lot of people don't realize. One is that it is actually a system, and that everything is literally designed to work together, right? That's what you get. That's why you spend the money. But more importantly, every single tool, what's the very first thing that they consider when they're designing a tool? What is the very first thing that they take into consideration? Sedge.
Dust extraction.
Dust extraction. So, like, to me, literally every single tool is designed based off of that machine.
Yep,
So why would you not put that as your top tool?
I was my old adage is, it's the first thought, not the afterthought.
Yeah.
You know,
So
just look at stuff like, you know, all these dust muzzles and stuff like that. I was talking to a guy this weekend at the Woodcraft. Ronnie was talking about the RG130. He's going to get one. I hadn't seen this dude in like 6, 7 years. And we were shooting the BS at the Festool Experience, what Travis was doing. And it was really cool. He goes, you know what? It's so great how that whole hood is integrated with that flip up against the wall. He goes, I have to go buy this brand he was talking about, and then add all these muzzles, they call them dust muzzles, you know, shrouds. And he goes, I don't get good dust extraction. I go, you'll get exceptional dust extraction with this.
it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is pretty impressive, that particular machine, for sure.
Yes. I love that machine. That's definitely a specialty machine, but I think it's one of those things if somebody has and they'll use it all the time in their arsenal. There's other ways to do it, but that way's the fastest. It's amazing. Like
Yeah,
I
he does what you do. He's a remodeler. And
oh,
he's ham he's hammering it every day.
It's so cool. I mean, I actually heard you say the first time on one of your things, one of your videos, you said something about it was equivalent to like a 10 or 15 grit, 20 grit. Would you say somewhere on that line? And I thought that it was on the paint removal one, the gold disc.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I never thought about that, an aggressive sander, because I always use the 150 as my aggressive sander. I started using it as that aggressive sander. It's like using a 150 on nitrous or what is it? It's
Yeah,
like it
because
is
it is just
fast,
it's rotary, you
but it's
know.
predictable though. I mean, you ease down on it, you can take away you if something's sitting 3/16 quarter inch high and you just need to get it down to the right level, it's almost instantaneous. The
Sure.
guard can keep you from being too bad with it, but you quickly get confidence with that tool too. It's very predictable. Even though it's taking off a lot, it's very predictable. Almost like one of those wheels that they
Yep.
have that go on a grinder. It's very predictable.
I'll
Love
tell you
that
what, I
tool.
wish
And
that
it's
they
not
would have, I
messy.
wish that would have been out when I remodeled the bathroom at our last house. 'Cause remember when I pulled the tub out and then I plugged that hole sedge with the concrete? Well, I initially took like as aggressive sandpaper as I could get with the Rotex to just see if I could smooth it out a little bit. No. Nope. So I ended up having to borrow a grinder and then using a diamond wheel, and it worked, but guess what I didn't have? Dust
Mess.
extraction, and it
Yes. Yeah.
destroyed my bathroom and
Oh,
my
I bet.
master closet. It was just dust everywhere.
If someone was removing tile in a bathroom, that tool would be worth it for that job
Oh yeah.
alone.
If
You
I
could
ever
throw it.
had to do anything like I did before, I'd buy it immediately,
Yeah.
even if
I
I
mean,
only used it one time.
you could throw that away at the end and it's worth it.
Yeah.
I actually look forward to the next time that I take tile up and I have that grid mark. I will laugh and I will giggle and then I will use it and giggle some more because it will just eat it away. It's awesome. And no dust. So I'm very impressed with that tool because I've done it the other way. Like you said, Jason, I've seen the other side. So
It was
that's
so
very
bad.
exciting. Very exciting.
Well, good. I'm excited. I hope this video does well. I've got a lot of videos coming out soon that are. That's all I did last week. I know we said you and I didn't really talk about what we've been up to, but last week all I was doing is filming, getting ahead so I can get all of my stuff done before I go to Germany, and I'll have all my videos ready to go through March pretty much. So I have one more final thing that I got to fix, finish up tomorrow, and I'll be heading to Santa Barbara Wednesday morning. And then next week
Nice.
I come
Cool.
back and start the built-in. So hopefully it probably won't happen, but maybe next Monday night I'll be talking about how I started cutting plywood for the built-in, but it probably won't. I'll probably be doing last minute video stuff. I'm
Good
trying to get
to
all the
have
boxes
faith.
built. I'm trying to get all the boxes built, the old one ripped out and the new boxes installed before we go to Germany. And
Wow.
then when we come back, we do have a design change for the exterior portion. We're painting it, all of it, and it's going to be painted a different color, but I'm going to be doing a door style that I've wanted to do for a very long time and I haven't done yet. And that is the modern thin shaker. I think you guys would know if you saw Ken DeCoste and NS Builders. They do a lot of
Yep.
stuff with the very thin-walled shaker doors. I think that looks amazing. And Nicole just happened to find a picture, and she was like, "Can we do something like this?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, we can,"
Way
because she
cool.
wants some visual depth, not like this flat panel stuff like back here.
Yep.
So I said, "Yeah." The downside to those doors is, you pretty much got to build them an inch thick, which is okay. Or 7/8. The only thing I need to check is to make sure that the hinges that I have will support that. Because it's such a thin wall for the sides, you're not putting your hinge cup in the actual material. It's going into the MDF, which is what I'm going to use. So you have to drill the MDF, what, 13 mil? Right? So you can't use half inch, or else you'll blow right through it. So you have to use a 3/4 inch panel. So I'm pretty sure that the hinges I have you can are good for up to 1 inch thick doors. So
Probably. Yeah, they
should be.
usually say, I think it usually says up to 15/16 is what they say
Yeah.
on.
Yep. I've got to ask. I got my buddy at Ceviche. I just need to look in the manual, actually. I've actually got the manual sitting right here. I need to check that. But
What's the name of their cabinet company? Materia?
Materia Millwork.
Materia Millwork. As you're
Cabinet.
talking, I was trying to look it up.
Yeah, oh man, they are so nice. I love them. They just look so good. And funny thing is, I'm actually gonna have to wrap this up here in a second because I got to make another phone call before I go upstairs to Leo. But I wanted to do this on a previous project,
Yeah.
and I remember specifically showing Nicole, and at the time I feel like I remembered she wasn't a big fan of the way that it looked, so we didn't do it. Matter of fact, I think I was going to do it on the built-in behind me. And so we didn't do it. And then she found another picture and she's like, I really like this. And I'm like, let's do it. Last time I thought you didn't like it. And she's like, well, it's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't know if that's what we should do. And so that's what I'm going to be building.
Wicked cool.
I'm going to
That'd be
attach the side pieces. I'm going to use some like little 4 mil dominoes, probably snap everything together. I'll probably build two sides long, let it dry, flush cut it, and then do the other ones long, let it dry, flush cut those. And then that way I know everything is, perfect. I won't have to worry about messing with the edge of the MDF because it'll be covered by hardwood, and then paint all of them.
Is it like I'm trying to look to see what you're describing as a thin wall, or a thin rail and style shaker panel? Are you talking like like a caulk bead around the whole thing? Is that what you're describing it?
Kind of, yeah. Think of a shaker just with it, instead of it being 50 mil, it's like 15 or 20 mil. The frame.
Okay.
You know what I
Yep.
mean?
Okay. Yep.
I'm
Yep.
gonna see if I can Materia Millwork. You
That's
probably
where
have
I'm
to scroll.
looking.
Oh, they're like eighth post back. It's a kitchen.
Oh, I'm not even on Instagram. I'm gonna go there now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's a beautiful kitchen with a white oak base, cabinets, white on top, super clean. But if you scroll through the pictures, you'll see close-ups of them, and that's what it's going to be. It was August 17th, 2023, was the post.
How many posts back did you say?
It's like the ninth post back. Like if you go to their page, it's
Yep.
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
If you get to 10, you went too far.
Oh, gotcha.
It's right next to the
Yep,
post
got
with all
it.
the stuff in the drawer.
Yep, got it.
How great does that look?
Wicked.
But I talked to Ken about it when we were thinking about doing it originally, and he told me, he's like, the only thing you need to keep in mind is that you need to have your panel has to be 3/4 of an inch. He goes, because if you drill that hinge hole,
Yep.
you're gonna burn right through 1/2 inch material. So it will require a slightly thicker door, but I like a thicker door
I do too.
personally. I think it looks better.
You also get better luck with them closing if you're using soft closed things.
Yep. And it probably would help with its stability, especially now you're thickening
Oh,
up the
and
panel and
if yeah, what's really cool is they're wrapping them, and that's a miter.
yeah, they did miters. I actually talked to him about that. I was like,
That's
I don't
cool.
know if I would do the miter. I might just because it's going to be painted and it'll be seamless anyways.
Oh, yep.
So I think
Yeah,
I'll
it's
do the
kind
top and
of
bottom first, cut them
yeah.
flush to the sides, then put those sides on, and then cut those flush on top, and then just sand everything, and you'd be good to go.
So the back of the door will be flush, and that's where you
Correct.
won't have that reveal you as you do out front. So then you can bore when you're using your hinges with a 5 millimeter tab and not. Oh, okay, got it.
Because you got to bore what, 13 mil most slides, 13,
Yeah.
14 mil. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
Oh,
think it'll be
okay.
cool. I still want to do white oak,
Yeah.
but she wants it painted. So I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Ooh, do white oak and then paint it.
So
Oh,
you'll
yeah,
be
that's a good idea. I do have
partially.
white oak Riffson veneered
Do
MDF
that.
core. Let's do
Do
that.
it. So your hinge will
Paint
be
it.
partially your bore if it's a 5-inch tab. Will be partially into partially into some of the style. That's cool.
Correct. Yep. But the majority of it would be in the MDF. Like the screw
Of
holes and
course.
everything will be in the MDF.
Oh, that is so cool. Huh.
That'd be
I'm glad you
good.
showed, because I'm looking at the picture now away from the it being blown up, and it looks cool.
Yeah.
I like the depth of that.
Or
I think it's
use
a
some.
really good medium between a traditional shaker style and a flat panel to where shaker style can look very farmhousey, right? It can, depending on especially how wide you do your rails and styles. But flat panel can look a little bit too modern and
modern
plain and
and industrial and commercial,
This is a
right?
great combo. Oh man, I love that. I actually love that the base is white oak and that the tops are white too.
Isn't that cool?
I've been talking to Nicole. I was like,
That's
I want to do two-tone in the master
or in the kitchen, the master kitchen, in the
master
kitchen.
Kitchen.
But anyway, man, we're straying far off. I've got to wrap this one up, boys.
Okie dokie.
I got Leo and I need to make a quick phone call. But everybody, thank you for listening to the greatest podcast on the internet.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
The Green Suitors podcast.
Thanks for joining our
podcast.
Thanks for all the new patrons, too.
Yes. Oh, one last announcement. The 19th, Beers of the Boys. Friday the 19th.
Yes.
Next Friday.
Friday the 19th.
Friday the 19th. It will be Beers of the Boys. We apologize. We had to skip last month's bourbon with the boys just simply due to the fact that all three of our schedules just did not line up. And we always want to be there together as often as we can. So, but this is the new quarter. So it is time for a Beers of the Boys. Hope to see all you guys there. Nicole will be sending out that invite probably next week.
Wicked.
Awesome.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Have a great night, boys.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.